This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest with us, Ben Reinberg. How are you, Ben?
I'm fantastic. How are you both?
Great. We are doing awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today. So I'll just give you a brief bio on Ben. So Ben Reinberg is a chief executive officer of Alliance Consolidated Group of Companies, LLC, and as such provides an overall strategic and investment direction and leadership to the firm. Ben is a respected authority on commercial real estate acquisition and investment, as well as the development and structuring of transactions. He is well-versed in 1031 exchanges and assessing the needs of investment capital. Ben is currently raising for his $50 million fund that invests in commercial medical office spaces. He is a wealth of knowledge, and we're excited to dive into commercial real estate and capital raising. So, Ben, I really wanted to get you to get started by telling us a little bit more of your story. How did you get involved into commercial real estate?
Well, I was a young man. I was in my early 20s, and I'm a CPA by trade. And in the firm that I was working at for a year, I had someone who encouraged me to become an entrepreneur. And long story short, I did my first deal, and I had a little guidance. A gentleman from Los Angeles kind of gave me some coaching how to do it. And just, you know, I was young and fearless and maybe didn't know better at the time. And just what I call shoe leather. I went out and found a deal and put it together. I raised equity. My godfather, God bless his soul, he's no longer with us. He got me my first loan from a local community bank where I'm from in the Chicago area. I'm from Chicago. I just moved to California recently. And that's what catapulted me. I had a lot of success with my first deal. I had some issues, and we overcame them and sold the property and did really well. And our investors did really well. And that kind of encouraged me and gave me the confidence that I could do this and believe in myself. And ever since, it's been the same pattern. I mean, even though I'm 52 years old and it's almost 30 years later, I've been doing this for 28 years. I look back and I can't believe it's been that long. And it's really it's flown by. I've done tremendous amount of deals and built a lot of properties as well. And we've done thousands of transactions. We've done billions of dollars of transactions over the years. And I don't even remember some of the deals we've done. It's been so long, you know, and it's very interesting. So I got started and built my company and built my staff, and we decided to, at the end of the day, just keep focusing and persistence. And we are where we are today. We have over 500 million of assets in our portfolio. It's growing.
Wow.
We'll be well over a billion soon, and we'll be multiplying that. We'll be launching other funds besides our $50 million fund. We're experts in office, industrial, and retail. And my leadership team has over 200 plus years of experience. So we're positioned well. We're excited. We're excited about the market. And what we do, Joni and Sean, is we deal, our foundation is the human body. And we have focused on medical properties for about 17 years. It doesn't mean that we don't own office, industrial, and retail. We own all the different food groups of them. But right now, for the last 17 years, we've had a heavy focus on medical. And that was derived a lot from our investors. They wanted consistent cash flow. And then when the recession hit in 08 and 09, it really became prevalent that we should be focusing on this niche. So we grew this niche significantly. It's a large part of our portfolio. Obviously, the fund is focused on medical. And then 3.5 years ago, we gotten in the veterinarian property space, which I was really excited about. A friend of mine said, why don't you get involved in medical and get involved in veterinarian properties? I said, why? He said, it's the same thing you're doing. It's just with pets. Pets industry is growing rapidly. You know that, you know, PetSmart and all these. And we have two dogs as well. And I have a lot of friends with pets. I just kept seeing this and I started looking into it. And I saw all the consolidation going on in the industry. So you had some really good credit tenants and basically lowering the default risk. And so at the end of the day, it's just been a really fantastic thing for us to really expand the breadth of the products that we can offer our investors. So that's what we do. And I'm a fiduciary of capital. We raise money, we put it out to acquire properties, we asset and property manage it. And we are really good at what we do because we have a lot of experience. And one of the things that we're really good at is solving challenges, which if you're in this business for a long time, you're going to run into challenges. And it's like any business in life.
Never happens.
Yeah, like any business in life, you're going to have failures too. And you have to learn how to deal with the failures and pick yourself up and say, you know, I am going to get through this. We're going to make it better. We're going to learn from this. Mm-hmm. We learn from everything. There's not one deal, guys, that we do that we don't learn something, that we don't document and say, well, next time we're going to do this, or we're going to change this up or do this better. So I am constantly measuring not only myself, but our staff and our transactions and what we learn from it. And that goes for our resources. Did we like a certain resources? Did we have the right title company involved in the mm-hmm. transaction? What about the attorneys involved? What do we like, dislike? What was wrong with the process? So I always look at how do we get better? Okay. The good news is easy to deal with. You know, it's like I could pay anyone a preferred return. Anyone can, right? It's how do you solve a challenge? And that's who people say, well, Ben, who do you invest with? And that's who I invest with. When people say, why invest in Alliance, my company? That's the golden shovel right there, is we can solve challenges. Mm-hmm. That's what I recommend to your audience, is focus on solutions, not on the problems. And if you could focus on the solutions, okay, you will be wildly successful, because the more experience you get, and this is an experienced person's game we're in, there's no question about it, because things ebb and flow. You have to learn how to deal with different environments. You have to learn how to deal with people. You have to communicate. Mm-hmm. It's hard. When I was in my 20s, Joni, I was a complete mess, okay? I didn't know about personal development. I didn't know about communication skills and NLP and all the different things that people do. I was young. But as I've gotten older and I've gotten into personal development, worked on myself and educated myself even more, I became stronger and stronger. So right now, me and my company, we're in the prime of our careers. We're in a great situation to scale and to really make people a lot of money. And we've just been running ever since. I mean, just recently we had two sales. We had a 35% IRR of a deal, and we had 23%, and doubling and tripling investors' money. It's so rewarding to see what we're doing to make people money and the tax benefits. Mm-hmm. So I love what I do. I'm an expert in what I do. I enjoy it. I do a lot of mentoring for younger folks in our business. And just like you guys, we got on a call the other day through a mutual friend, and love to hear about that experience and what you guys your situation I've been doing for over 20 years for mm-hmm. people. Yeah. So I believe one of the things I felt lacking, okay, is there was a lack of mentoring in our business when I was younger. I had no one to go to, okay? And it's one thing, and one thing I thought of was, and my staff said, you should really develop your personal brand, which came into my podcast, Ben Reinberg, I own it. That's part of the mission, is to help people. And so we're spreading the word. We're gonna be creating a really neat university coming up, which is gonna be able to teach all aspects of commercial real estate. And I felt it was important. It was something that I wanted to do because when I was a younger man, I had no resources to go to. Mm-hmm. I had not a lot of people to ask. And the baby boomers in front of me, I found in Chicago, weren't really helpful. They weren't really helping me. It was almost like, he's going to come in and compete with us. I don't know. Maybe they thought that. I had no experience. It didn't make sense at the time. So I felt that if you're really good at this, and this is a sophisticated business, it's complicated, there's a lot of moving parts and variables, wouldn't it be nice if someone started from A to Z and showed you not only how to pick a niche, acquire property, but also shepherd someone down the road, is what happens after you buy it? How do you finance it? How do you deal with issues? How do you property management and asset management? There's so many aspects to learn. Mm-hmm. And if someone doesn't teach it, as best, and there's risk and there's issues, and we know all that. But if someone could effectively teach it, think about a kid that comes from a disadvantaged neighborhood, okay, and wants to change his life and his family's life. How phenomenal and fantastic would it be that that kid, okay, who has no hope and no guidance, can come into our program and our university and learn real estate and pick a niche that he or she can fall in love with and do that. And I think that's really important. I think a lot of people don't teach our business. I think a lot of people don't teach how to deal with the different nuances in our business. Mm-hmm. And it's complicated. So for me, I was self-taught. And if I would have went through the university that we're creating, I would have said to myself, oh my God, this is it. This is the magic potion I've been looking for. Someone's going to hold my hand and answer the questions that are spinning through my head constantly of how to do things. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to like shepherd the process for 28 years and mm-hmm. go on that learning curve.
Right.
And I feel that it's important to give back. And so yeah. that's what I'm doing. And so that's kind of what's going on. And I'm really excited. Yeah. And I'm excited to, our personal brand is really building, and we're all over the internet, and we're promoting this fund. This fund is starting to take off, and we're going to have 5 assets as of tomorrow that awesome. Are going to be in the fund, which is exciting that we bought. And that's what I do. That's what I know.
Well, there's been a lot of kind of takeaways there. I mean, you're obviously a wealth of knowledge, and you started young when we started, right? And you know, some of the key takeaways I got from that is, of course, mentorship is, I mean, when we got started, we needed that hand, you know, to hold us through every deal and to walk us through, you know, things that maybe mistakes, or try to avoid the mistakes. One question I have for you is, like, what are some of the biggest challenges you faced in your career?
I think some of the challenges, I go back and I become an expert in financing deals. I believe there's no one better than Ben Reinberg at financing deals. Okay. I've really developed an art to do it and do it well. And the reason why I was able to create that set in my mind is because I never wanted to go through some of the experiences I went through, and to answer your question. So I've seen challenges where I've been involved in a deal and I didn't interview the lender or scrub the lender when I was younger. Okay. Like I do now. I pretend like almost I sit on their board. Mm. And because of that, it's allowed me to get great loans and allowed me to prevent the risk. I was involved in deals when I was younger where I would have a lender, and at the 11th hour, they would change the terms of the deal, or they would say, well, we decide some guy on the board had a bad day, so we're not going to finance that acquisition of yours. Mm-hmm. So now I'm scrambling. Mm-hmm. Maybe I raise money from my investors. Maybe I'm 30, 50 grand in the door, out the door for due diligence costs. I got earnest money up. I got my credibility in the brokerage community. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about pressure? That's the pressure I deal with on a daily basis. Mm. Okay. So I said to myself, I gotta change the game. So what I do is I find, when I talk to lenders, I basically set the frame. I tell them what I want, who I'm picking. And it's a lot easier now because I have so much gray matter between my ears and so much experience in a portfolio. We're a privilege to do business with. I'm not the wealthy manufacturer down the street who says, hey, I want to buy a medical property or industrial building and give me a loan. Well, that's a different story. We offer repeat business mm-hmm. to lenders and a relationship. Relationships are really critical in lending.
Absolutely.
And so what I've learned, Joni, is that from financing, I had to get to that point where I had this ultimate confidence, like, I'm going to get this finance. I know what I want. Here's the box. I create the box that works every time. And so that's been a challenge. Mm. The other challenge I see is a lack of integrity in our mm-hmm. business.
Absolutely.
And that is a challenge to battle, where brokers aren't being upfront with you. Mm-hmm. They tell you one thing, hey, if you do this, you're going to get the deal and you'll be under letter of intent and you're on your way. I see a lot of the challenges is time. Where do you spend your time? So for example, my acquisitions team, that department, one of the things that I teach is get the right information in order to evaluate a deal. Okay. And if you don't have the right information, you got to move on. And part of success in commercial real estate, what I do it and in life, is time management. You only have your time. That's your most valuable asset. Mm-hmm. And if anyone tells you that, it's true.
Yeah.
It's an accurate statement. So when you're looking at deals, if someone can't give you the right information or can't answer a question or doesn't have financial statements, if you need them to assess the tenant, you have to move on. And it's a challenge that it took me a while to learn, and it takes some of the acquisition folks, you know, time where they glom onto a deal because they got to get a deal done because maybe, you know, they're getting bonuses for deals that we close. So they're staring and they're praying and wishing, but you know what? It's not a viable deal. You don't have the right information. The properties may be overpriced right. based on market conditions. So at the end of the day, that's another challenge. So mm-hmm. finance challenge, where you spend your time. And then the other challenge I feel is communication.
Mm-hmm.
How do you communicate with your investors? How do you communicate with your lenders? How does the property management division of ours communicate with our tenants as well? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with your insurance agents? What I think a challenge is, which leads into the communication, is your third-party resources. I have one of the best commercial real estate attorneys in the world. He's like an older brother to me. Mm-hmm. I love him to death. But we didn't get there overnight. I went through four or five attorneys, okay? I saw what lack of integrity was.
Mm-hmm.
I saw overbilling. I saw lack of follow-through and follow-up. And then I found my person. And when I found my person, I developed him, and we do millions of dollars of business with him and his firm every year. And I'm so proud of our relationship. Same thing with accountants. So I have this platform, this team of people, this sphere of influence. I call it the Alliance mega team, this sphere of influence, which really has allowed me to detach. I love to delegate. And so I have great investment sales brokers that work for us, great engineers, great accountants, great attorneys. It takes time to develop. If you're younger and you're getting in the business, and it doesn't matter what side of real estate, commercial, residential, whatever you do. I mean, there's so many different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And Joni and Sean, the thing that's really important is surround yourself with people that are going to communicate with you, that are going to follow through, that are great advisors that will give you advice without putting their values inside of you. So I've been very blessed. I have wonderful people around me. I have wonderful staff. No one's going to outwork me. Everyone knows that. You're never going to outwork me if you work for me. Okay. I was here. Yes, I was here. What was yesterday? Sunday? I was here Saturday. Okay. I work on Saturdays. Most people don't. So I do all these things because all these little things and the risk associated with allows me to be able to make sure that we make money, we have success, I protect my investors' capital, and that we can thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of people that depend on Ben Reinberg. I have a lot of people that depend on our company and our staff.
Right.
And I feel it's a very sacred thing for me that people depend on me. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege for me to be able to be a good fiduciary for capital. I have a great brand and reputation in the market. And I'm not letting it go because I want to be the best at what I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal. I want to be the best commercial real estate company in the country, especially with medical. I want to have the best personal brand in the world. That's the competitive edge of me. And that's, people say, well, what fuels you? What fuels me is I never forgot, Joni and Sean, the day I started. I never forgot the first deal I did. I never forgot what it took for the first success moment I had. And how valuable that was. I don't get high off, you know, making money. I'm a money magnet. I know that. I know how to make money. what I've learned is that you have to be grateful. And every day I'm so grateful for the people around my life, because if they weren't there supporting me, I wouldn't become the person I am today. And so my advice to your audience is surround yourself with good people. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future, is one of my mentors says. And it's so perfectly said because it's so true. If you're going to hang around with losers, you're going to be a loser. If you're going to hang around people that are wildly successful, that can teach you and that have been there and done it. Okay. That's why people say to me, they're like, well, why do you have mentors? I have mentors because I want to always be elevating. I want to be learning. People know I don't know everything, Joni and Sean. I just don't. And I'm very transparent about it. However, I am outstanding at bringing in resources that can solve challenges and provide me the information I need to be successful in business and life.
Yeah. And that's how we met, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's right there. You know, when we talk about connections and surrounding yourself with the right people, that's kind of how we connected, right? That's a mutual friend. And we were starting our first fund, and a mutual friend said, "Hey, you need to talk to Ben. Ben's like the king at raising capital."
You're doing your little 10 million. He's got a 50 million. But no, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, it was good. It was a, it was an hour of, getting a kick in the butt. And
we needed that.
let's talk about that. So we got on the phone, and share with your audience, what did you learn from that? I think we were on the phone for an hour. What did you learn from that hour that you spent with me?
Yeah. So it was, number one, it was, we had all the resources. We had all the experience and all that. It was just more of a mindset shift is what we really needed at that point of time. And so you just opened our eyes to, hey, lean on your experience, lean on what you do well, and go back to kind of the basics, go back to your foundation of the people that are already invested, and, you know, get them to increase, go back to your sphere of influence, and more than anything, get a little bit more uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and, go back to reaching out to people that we would maybe say, I'm not going to call this person, and it took, we raised the 3 million that we had our goal set for, but yeah, it required coming in on Saturdays and making 2 hours of, cause that was something you said you did every day. So I'm like, well, shoot, I'm going to come in on Saturday and start dialing for dollars, you know? And so we, but it took, for us, it was more of a mindset shift, but just, like, hey, lean on your experiences. I love the pillars mm-hmm. that you, went over with that day with us. And so it was more taking that and shifting our pitch a little bit and shifting the way we were presenting it to our clients and also our attitude. So just changing the way mm-hmm. we were approaching and going in with a lot more confidence. And
yeah. And, I think also like because I think a lot of, at our level, we think not that because we don't know everything also. Right. But others out there may think, oh, shoot, what, I know everything, right? But putting that ego down and say, you know what, like, I could learn something from this, right? Even if you're at a high level, I think that we all can be coachable. We all can learn a few things. And you talk a lot about mentorship, and I think it's crucial, even at our level, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I still do personal development. I have mentors of mine where I talk to, I sit down with on a frequent basis. And we talk about what's going on. There's always something where they can see it and say, one might be like, you look upset. What's bothering you? Mm-hmm. Let's get it out. Let's pull that experience out of you and clear it. Let's get it out of you.
Right.
And so I never want to stop learning. I want to keep growing. And, one thing for your advice, I think is really tough for people is you have to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You have to be transparent. You have mm-hmm. to tell people who you are. I am a Chicago kid who loves sports. Okay. Who's a foodie, who loves to work out and be healthy and try new things and learn. And so at the end of the day, it's what is important to me. Mm-hmm. So that's who I am. And I wear it on my sleeve. I'm emotional. That's who I am. And I'm proud of it. And I don't have to explain it to anyone. And yeah. So I think when you're younger and you're starting out, it's like you want to show people how special you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the worst thing to do. And I think it's really the opposite. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
I think your authentic self gravitates to people say, well, why are you so good at dealing with people, Ben? I don't know. I'm just authentic. And I think maybe that's, and maybe mm-hmm. I'm generous. Maybe I give referrals or maybe I help, because I always take the approach that I hope everyone can learn from is, how can I help people? How can I serve? Because if I can help you, I call it the universe of the real estate gods. Okay. When you do good things, all of a sudden, like I come in the office and like, maybe I see a great deal, or maybe I bring in a new investor, or maybe there's a new resource, or maybe I learned something new, okay? And that's where gratitude comes into play. Mm-hmm. And all this ties together. And I really believe if you work hard and you're persistent, the real estate gods reward you. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been in this business long enough where just things happen and moments happen. Mm-hmm. It's showing up and it's being persistent and it's being authentic. Those are the keys to success. Mm-hmm. People ask me that, what are the keys to success? Yeah, roll up your sleeves and work.
So true.
I mean, whoever the guy wrote like the 3-day work week, it doesn't work in our business. Right. If you want to separate yourself, okay, you walk into an office building here in California, because no one works on Saturdays in California. It blows my mind. Maybe they do. Maybe not here in Orange County where I'm at. But I walked in this Saturday and the garage was empty. It's just me in the building. Building burns down. It's only me in the building. Okay. So at the end of the day, but it's those little things that count. It's, you know, one of the things I tell younger people that ask me all the time, or people getting in the business, like, if you do the small things right, you'll do the large things great. And the small things you do will culminate into the bigger things that you do in the future. And when I was younger, no one taught me that. There's a lot of lessons I learned that if I could go back and teach myself, you know, it's personal development. I was a shy kid growing up. I was an introvert. I'm an introvert and an extrovert.
That's hard to believe. But.
crazy thing.
He dives into the personal development though. Yeah. So he's able to overcome that.
But I got into personal development because I wanted to realize how to deal with whatever internally is going on. Because if I can't master what's going on internally, my external world is not going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I realized that as I got older. And so if I look back when I was younger, I would say, well, you know, what would you work on then? Well, I would work on myself. I would work on my internal self, how mm-hmm. to deal with my emotions, how that, you know, I used to hate going to networking events when I was in my 20s because I was no one. I wasn't there yet. I wasn't wildly successful like I am today. And so I didn't have the confidence. Mm-hmm. And so when you're younger and people are telling you, that's not going to work. Don't get in commercial real estate. It's tough business. You're not going to raise equity. You'll never get a loan. You don't have a balance sheet. So you got all these people, and I want your audience here. You're going to have people that are going to be bludgeoning you with negativity and all these contractions, can't, won't, shouldn't, wouldn't. I don't believe in contractions. I say that to people that work for me as well. You know, people that use those also make excuses. I can't stand when people make excuses. I've had a lot of challenges in my life. I didn't come from money. I had to figure this whole thing out. And because of that, I don't make excuses. There's a challenge, I figure out how to solve it. If I'm having a bad day, okay, I'm having a bad day. Like today, I'm having a horrible day. But I'm on here with you. It's a privilege to be on here. And I'm happy. It's making my day. Awesome. But I woke up this morning, I had a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
Okay. That, and some of these challenges I don't really like. Okay. Because it's human behavior, mm-hmm. which is really irritates me when I see it. And so to kind of full circle back to your question, human behavior is something that's always a challenge. You know, dealing with people that don't have that lack integrity, lack follow through. And so all these little things, I think when you look, and if you're just getting started in the business or you're in the business and you're listening to Joni and Sean's show, is life's not going to be perfect. Okay. So pick and choose who you surround yourself with, pick and choose how you do business, and just be persistent and focused. And you're going to fail. You're going to have challenges. You're going to struggle, but it doesn't mean you quit. It means you learn from it and you keep pushing forward. And I think, guys, that's something that's really important that I want to relay to your audience. Yeah.
How do you, something I think that was really good too, when we spoke, whatever, a month ago, how do you go about making new contacts, and what questions, like, you know, I think it's important in real estate, number one, but also very important when it comes to raising money mm-hmm. and for your deals. But I think it's a stumbling block for a lot of people, talking to strangers.
Getting out of your comfort zone.
And then, speak to that. And like, do you have something you say frequently, or do you have your
elevator speech?
Yeah. Well,
Ben's elevator speech.
Yeah, it's a great question. I love your question. And it really resonates with me because it is a challenge, especially when you're new at raising equity. It's scary. Mm-hmm. And I think what I would advise people is you got to ask for money. So I always say, like, how much do you want to commit in our fund? How much do you want to invest? You know, Sean, how about you interested in committing $500,000? How's that sound? So I throw it out there. I might throw it out during my pitch. But basically, I find out a lot about the investor before I get on the phone. Okay. So how do I find that investor? Well, we obviously do advertisement. We do networking. We have a great track record. But when I was younger, let's go back, because that's really what you probably want to know, not about me now, because it's a lot easier because of my track record and our vast experience between me and my leadership team. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, I was a young man. The internet wasn't prevalent. Okay. It was what I call green ledger paper, stamps, envelopes, checks, and the phone. Do you remember the real phone? You know?
Was it on a wall?
Yeah. Like I got a phone right here. It's a nice one, but okay. I'm not, and it could have been a rotary phone at the time, you know, or push button. And so with call waiting. So what would happen is I used what I call shoe leather. I would go to people's office in conference rooms. We had a conference room when I was younger too. And it was always positioned up front in everyone's office. That way you can escort the person out if you're meeting them. And you weren't going to bother your staff either. So at the end of the day, it was a lot of shoe leather. And I think it exists today. I think you got to go out there and pound the pavement. You got to meet people. Now we have all these coffee shops. If you're a coffee shop, just start talking to someone. I was at a restaurant, okay, Friday night. And it was interesting. Some guy just came up to me and started speaking to us. And what ended up happening is he was just working the room. And you know what? If he would ask me to invest, I would say, what are you doing? So I learned something from that moment. That was just a few days ago. And you just have to put yourself out there. It's scary. You're talking to an introvert in an extrovert position, remember? Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, it was scary. I just said, you know what? What do I have to lose? Someone's going to say no. Or someone's could be nasty to me. Like, you have no experience. Get the hell out of here. Whatever it was. And at the end of the day, you have to be fearless. You have to kind of put on, I hate to say this because I don't, but you almost need a mask of saying, I'm whoever I am, I'm going to get over it. And I am going to be fearless. And the other key that's so important that everyone forgets is you have to know what you're selling. You have to love what you're selling and believe in.
Yeah.
Because it's got to ooze out of you. It's got to be, your physiology has to show how excited, because when you're excited, people get excited.
Right.
So when I raise money, I like to stand up. I think I told you guys that. I like to get my body moving. So I'm moving, I'm energetic. And all of a sudden the other side of the phone or the other side of the meeting, when I was younger, they're like, wow, this guy's real. He understands all the variables. He understands the downside. He understands the numbers. He understands the product vacancy rates. He gets it. Well, if he's willing to do all that, imagine what he's going to do when he runs the deal, because he cares. Mm-hmm. And that was the secret that I was allowed to raise money when I was younger, is that I really knew the product. I knew the environment. I knew the area. And here's the reason why that's so important. Okay. Is that you have to be able to tell every part of the capital stack why they're going to be okay. So what's the capital stack? Well, you got your debt, you got your equity, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you have different components. Okay. And the equity could be divided into components. Today, it's not as prevalent, but back in the day, there was a lot of mezz debt in different situations. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you have to be able to explain to your lender and communicate of the deal, the cash flow, the risk, the downside, the tenant, the credit, the area, et cetera. It's the same speech to your investors. So if you master your speech to your investors, you'll be able to put together your capital stack. And that's a very critical thing for us that we've mastered at Alliance. It's been something that I take pride in, that because I want to be able to share a great investment or a great vehicle like a fund, mm-hmm. you better know it, because you know why? Every penny that that investor invested with you, generally speaking, has worked their tail off. Okay. So I give an example, Chicago. It is very cold in the winter. It's cold a lot of year round. Okay. We have snow, ice, dark gray days. So take a man or woman that's from Chicago, from my area, and they took the train downtown, took the train back, raising a family. And then all of a sudden they're betting on you with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. If you don't value every penny that that person had to do to grind to earn that dollar, you can't be in the business. And right. I said that to my staff. I said, the day we don't appreciate every penny, we shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that.
Yeah.
Because there's a large responsibility when you're handling other people's money. Things aren't going to be perfect, but you know, have transparency, have integrity, be consistent, become experts. Mm-hmm. These are our core values for my company, and they exist today.
Yeah.
And so to go back to your question is, it was shoe leather. It was being fearless. It was networking. It was asking for referrals, which a lot of people don't like to do. So at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's really persistence and grinding and picking up the phone and going to meet with people and asking for referrals, mm-hmm. doing all the things that you might not be comfortable doing.
Right.
But if you want to be in this business and you want to raise equity and you want to find lenders and you want to find resources, you have to put yourself out there. Yeah. And I really struggled with that. And now I'm great at, now I got this personal brand. Cause when I was a kid, Joni, okay, it was always the millionaire next door mentality. Let your actions speak for your word. Don't yeah. promote it. Don't pound your chest and say, I'm Ben Reinberg and I've owned millions of square feet of commercial real estate. I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. That was the opposite of what I was taught. And so now all of a sudden, like with this branding, this personal brand, these podcasts, it's like, now I gotta shed all that learning, those experiences, and share who I am.
Yeah.
And so I think in this environment, it's a little bit easier because people are used to being vulnerable and authentic, and people are very, can promote things on the internet and social media. So things have changed, yeah. okay? It's not a paper business anymore. It's a technology foundation part of our business. There's more technology platforms in our business than there ever has. And I think that you can utilize it. I'm actually jealous because if I could roll back the clock and you could say, okay, Ben, you know everything you know now, you're going to start in the industry right now, I would say, giddy up, because I got all this technology I could deal with. And it wasn't like, because when I looked at deals, guys, it was like I'd get a shiny package, the shiny book, I'd make an offer. And then I'd hear back 3 or 4 weeks later. That's when off-market deals really became prevalent. You had to find them because broker had control of a deal, like he's bidding the crap out of it. And who knows if you'll even get it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Go to that. So, you know, we have a lot of listeners that are in their early 20s and just starting out. What put yourself in that role. If you went back, what advice would you give yourself?
I would, like I said before, and I would tell everyone, is become the best version of yourself. Work on your internal, you know, we have thousands of words that's being processed through your brain every moment. And you need to be able to kind of guide your own ship, mm-hmm. right? You're going to be challenged. You're going to have people that don't say nice things to you. You're going to have people that put you down and use those contractions and the negative people surrounding you. So I would say work on yourself, mm-hmm. and become the best version of yourself and learn to love yourself and learn to be appreciate your process that you're going through and know that you are going through a process. This is a marathon business. I'm not going to sugarcoat. It's not get rich quick. You're not trading. You're not, but it's to me the best business in the world. It's wealth building.
Yeah.
And it's building wealth, and we have great tax benefits in our business. So mm-hmm. for the younger man or woman out there that wants to get started, work on yourself, become the best version of yourself, and then take the extra time to learn. And I think a lot of people, they get lazy. It's like, put in an extra hour or two, put in something over the weekend and really learn about your niche or what you're doing or whatever product you're selling. Mm-hmm. And so personal development, put the time in to become an expert is important, and surround yourself with people that have been there and done that, that can help you escalate your learning curve.
Do you have a
to me would be a big help.
Do you have a morning routine, like to put yourself in the mindset? Especially when you're raising money or making this call.
I wake up.
Go ahead.
Give you my day today because it's Monday.
Yeah.
So I got up at 5 a.m. and I get ready and I work out with a trainer 5 days a week around here in Orange County. And I drive there and basically I'm mentally preparing for the day. I take time. I'll take some calls while I'm driving because Chicago, which is our corporate headquarters, and I live out on the West Coast now, or Tampa, Florida, we have another office. So I'll get calls. So I might shepherd those in the morning if there's important things. But when I get up, okay, I am setting the tone for my day. I have my feet on the ground. I think to myself and say all the people that I'm grateful for in my life. I put it out there in the universe. I talk to myself and say, Ben, you're going to kick some butt today. You're going to have a phenomenal day and let's go get it done. And go find deals, go find equity. Let's change. Let's do it. And I mentally psych myself up. And I've been doing that for a long time. And then I go work out. And working out allows me to relieve stress. As you get older, it's important to build muscle. So I've gotten into great shape over the years. And it's really been a way to start my day. I struggle when I don't work out in the morning. I'm a little edgy. I'm a little itchy because it's part of my routine. And when I work out, it allows me to focus and take a breath. And even before I work out, I might sit in my car and do some breathing exercises that one of my mentors taught me to kind of increase my energy because, you know, your energy is through your breath. It's not through food. And so I'm looking for ways to increase my energy. I go work out. I have a great workout, get ready. And then I head right in the office and I'm ready to go. And that's what I do. I don't drink caffeine anymore. One of my mentors taught me that caffeine is not great for you. So I stopped doing that about 9 months ago. And it was a game changer for me. So I drink non-caffeinated tea. I've gotten into tea and I love it. And it's a way to get something hot, you know, especially being born and raised in Chicago. I always like to start the day with a warm drink. It's just something inside me. It used to be coffee. Now it's caffeine free tea. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
And I do the same thing on the weekends. I get up early, I go work out, but my day might be different. Like I might work a couple hours and then, you know, be with my family the rest or whatever. So at the end of the day, everyone develop your own routine. Okay. Yeah. My routine developed over time because I started working out at a facility that was in front of my office in a very affluent area. And I did that to meet people. And because I wanted to be able to raise money. And I raised a ton of money from that health club. And so those are some of the little things, tidbits you could do is surround yourself in circles and environments where you have a higher probability of getting investors.
Yeah.
And so that's what I recommend. And that's what I do to start my day. But to let everyone know is figure out what works for you. Okay. Right. I like getting up early. Some people like to sleep in a little bit and get their sleep and then start and they work later. Mm-hmm. It is whatever floats your boat and creates success for you. I have different goals. We all have different goals. We all have different missions and standards. Mm-hmm. That's how I do it. That's the Ben Reinberg way.
Yeah. Well, it's true that they say every successful person has a morning routine, right? So whatever that is for you, find it and get it done. So one thing I want to ask, we always ask our guests is, so what's your next, Ben? What are you looking to accomplish in the next 5 to 10 years?
I want my employees really running Alliance. And I anticipate sooner than later that I'm the founder and CEO. I'll end up being a chairman and we'll bring in someone on my leadership team. Will end up being the CEO that runs the company. And that's something I look forward to. I'm getting older. I'm 52 years old. It's been a grind. I love this business. I'm never getting out of it. you're going to have to bury me with my hands. It's true. I love it. I love it. And I'm phenomenal at it. And it took me years to get to this point. I'm very grateful and appreciative of the ride. But at the end of the day, I look forward to stepping out of the company and seeing other people run it and seeing them flourish and have equity and be wildly successful. And I am going to build this university and I'm going to give back and help people. And that's what my next life looks like. And I think one of the things I like is the people that work for me, I give them opportunities that maybe they never had. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they came from an underprivileged background, didn't go to college. Maybe they're a woman. We have a lot of women that work for me. I'm a big supporter of women. I think women are smarter than men, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, of course.
And well, they just have different skills. I think they look at things differently and they have different viewpoints. So I like the different diversity within my company. Mm-hmm. And I like empowering people. I like giving people an opportunity to shine and take them out of their environment that maybe no one gave them an opportunity to do. And so I find great employees that way. And that's really what it's about for me. My mission is, I am big into business, health, and personal development. That's who Ben Reinberg is. But I like giving back. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy serving. I enjoy teaching. And so I think with my university, I'm not going to teach every class. I'll teach a niche. And I feel that it will allow someone to change their lives. I'm very proud, guys, I look back and someone says, well, what's a barometer says? You have a shitload of money in the bank. You own a lot of assets. You've done thousands of transactions. What floats your boat? I think the one thing I'm really proud of is I've put a ton of kids through college that of the parents that have worked for me.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And I get choked up when I say that, because to me, that's something that you can't put a price tag on. You couldn't put a price tag on an employee that their kids never went to school. I'm sorry, they themselves never went to school. Maybe no one else in their family is the first generation going to college. Their kids go to college. Maybe they have three kids and they graduate. I have a woman that works for me. Okay. She's worked for me years. I love her to death. She's a wonderful, talented person. And I've watched three of her kids go to college. And I know her kids and I love them. And to me, that is one of the most gratifying things that I've been able to enjoy throughout my career. And to me, that's just, it's priceless to be able to change someone's life and give them an opportunity, because no one did that for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt that if I could do something different, how rewarding would that be? How special it is when you get a call from one of your employees' kids telling you that they graduated in May, and they send you pictures and or videos. I get very choked up with those moments.
Yeah.
Because I look back when I was a kid and no one gave me that help. And so I figured out, I said, well, what if I can do that for someone? Mm-hmm. And that's why, to me, it's the most special moment of my career is, what was I able to do? Because all those Saturdays and all those grinding, you look at, yeah, produce money and my kids go to great schools and they have a great life. But at the end of the day, I look at it and say, well, what did I do to change people? What impact? You know, I love the word impact. What impact did I have on the people around me and the people that work for me? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the knowledge. It's the ability to do something different with their lives and grow. And so I'm really proud of that stat. We have a lot of great stats, but the college stat to me is like, I just, there's something about it that just really resonates with who I am.
That's awesome. Great. So, I mean, you are incredible. I'm glad that we had this opportunity to interview you, because you're a wealth of knowledge, you know, with your success story, giving back, all of that. So how can our listeners get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me is if you go to benreinberg.com. That benreinberg.com has all the social media platforms I'm on. I have an entire staff. We post a lot of content. We're posting a lot of educational content. People can get to know me. I'm very vulnerable. and talk about my thoughts, and I don't hold back. I'm raw. And the other way also is to go to our company website, Alliance CGC. It's AllianceCharlieGeorgeCharlie.com. And that will allow people to see about commercial real estate. I write a lot of articles, a lot of content on there. You can learn about us. You can learn about commercial real estate. You can learn about investing in medical properties, learn about how to get involved in our fund. And so those are the two ways. The third way is to, like, you have your podcast. Mm-hmm. I have my podcast, Ben Reinberg. I own it. It's my podcast is growing rapidly. We have some phenomenal guests that offer a lot of value, have similar values to me that want to give back and serve others.
Right.
And the name behind my podcast was something very special because I felt that it goes back to your question about what would I say to myself in my 20s or my teens is own everything, own what you consume, own your behavior, own your thoughts, mm-hmm. own how you treat others around you. You're the only one that controls your destiny. Mm-hmm. Okay. If Ben Reinberg wasn't successful and not on Joni and Sean's show, that's Ben Reinberg's fault. I own that. That's me. And you have to own it. And if you do own it, own internally and what you project out to the world, you will be wildly successful.
Yeah.
And that's why the podcast kind of goes back to giving people and serving and educating and providing value. I wanted to create a podcast where I could add value and bring in really cool guests mm-hmm. from all different walks of life that have really inspired people and continue to do so. And I really fell in love with it. I was kind of worried. I was like, well, I'm not a speaker and I'm not this or that, but I really gravitate to this podcast. And I realized that the value we provide people is just priceless and the people that we meet. So I'm really enjoying it. That's another way to stay in touch with me. And
it's own it, right?
Yeah. I own it all. I love that.
You got to own it. Yeah. And that's why we said Ben Reinberg, I own it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I love that.
We'll have the links to all that in our comments and everything. So people can get a hold of you and follow you. And let us know when the Academy launches. You got two students right here though.
Absolutely.
Your first two students. So,
great.
Yeah.
Yes. Great. Well, yeah, Ben, it has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you like this episode, please rate it. And we'd love to hear your feedback out there. So please reach out to us.
Awesome. Well, everybody, we'll see you all next week. Have a great rest of your week.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure seeing you.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.